This is Weekend Edition on WNYC. Good morning, I'm David First. WNYC's Jim O'Grady has been spending time at the U.S. Open this week talking to fans about the players, who's up, who's down, and Jim joins us now. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, David.
So what did you find out this week?
Well, I talked to a bunch of people, including Woody Schneider, who owns a store called NYC Racket Sports in Manhattan. He is an avid tennis fan, and he says the winner on the women's side was Monica Puig.
Okay, first of all, the women's final hasn't happened yet?
That's right. It's happening today at 4 o'clock.
And Monica Puig lost last week in the first round.
Yes, but Schneider was talking about that other competition that's held every year at the U.S. Open for best outfit.
Mostly white, it's got a little bit of red and blue trim. A shorter cut dress, and boom, there she comes, and she just looks unbelievably classy.
Puig's dress had shoulder straps, and it flared at the waist.
Jim, is it safe to say that you know nothing about fashion?
It is, David, but I know experts in fashion and tennis and being a woman.
Thessaly LaForce is my first and last name, and I am a writer.
She writes about style and the business side of fashion.
It's funny how people use fashion to put women in their place, and if women subvert it, it's easy to call them scandalous.
That's where the story of female tennis players and fashion begins, with scandal.
We meet the greatest woman lawn tennis player of all time, Suzanne Longland.
Suzanne Longland is probably the best example. She's a tennis star from the 1920s, very fiery on the court, and was known to taking nips of alcohol from a flask.
An exemption from prohibition had to be secured before she would play in the United States.
And she would play without sleeves, and that was seen as really horribly risque and sort of loose.
A woman with bare arms in public?
Bare arms, yeah. It was
in the 1920s?
In the 1920s, my God.
It was Suzanne Longland, just after World War I, who liberated women players from the long skirts worn on the courts before she appeared. Another war, and along came Gorgeous Gussie.
Gussie Moran, nicknamed Gorgeous Gussie by the British tabloids. Moran was an athletic Californian with a wicked forehand who was ranked as high as fourth in the world in the late 1940s. LaForce says Moran was oppressed and bored by the blandness of women's tennis outfits. So in 1949, Moran wrote a letter to British designer Teddy Tinling.
She said, "I wrote Tinling a letter prior to Wimbledon asking him if he would design me something with one sleeve one color, the other sleeve another color, and the shirt another color. He wrote back, 'Have you lost your mind?'"
Tinling chickened out of challenging the tournament's all-white dress code. But he came up with another kind of fashion splash.
He made Gussie this really short dress out of this soft knit rayon material that sort of clung to her curves and bounced when she walked. And panties is what they call them. It's sort of like boy shorts, essentially. And he, knowing how tan her legs were, he added a sort of 2-inch lace trim around the bottom. And that was that. But when she walked onto the court, the photographers in the crowd just sort of lost their mind.
What Miss Gussie Moran wears on the tennis court makes news, it seems. She's come for another crack at Wimbledon, but nobody seems interested in her tennis form.
LaForce says Moran later regretted being the first to bring the sexy to Wimbledon, where she was accused of injecting, quote, vulgarity and sin into tennis.
She probably didn't quite realize how hard it would be to escape that.
Teddy Tinling, on the other hand, got rich. He leveraged his notoriety to become the designer of women's tennis clothes from the 1960s through the 1980s.
Teddy Tinling believes the game can accommodate its own distinctive fashions. It looks like being the end of girl players all looking alike once they take up a racket.
Tinling outfitted every big name: Billie Jean King, Yvonne Goolagong, Martina Navratilova. His outfits were svelte and emphasized the athlete's muscle and form and movement. And they had showy little touches like sequins and mirrors.
She's going to win it just like that, Martina, a true champion.
And then in the 1990s came the corporations. Adidas and Nike started signing up pros to wear their branded outfits at major tournaments. That led to another scandal at Wimbledon in 2014.
It's the naughty tennis dress that's causing a major stir.
It was Gussie Moran all over again. Women were being told how much of their bodies they should show.
With every serve, it shows lots and lots of skin. Too much skin, if you ask these world-class players. The dress has caused such an uproar that Nike has reportedly sent a tailor to Wimbledon to sew up the sides. Serena Williams
refused to be seen in the Nike dress and got away with it because she's Serena Williams. She's not shy. She and her sister Venus constantly use clothing to perturb the moralists and add glam to the women's game. Cat suits, dreadlocks, nude knickers. They did it first, and often at the U.S. Open, a big stage with few rules, according to Caitlin Thompson, publisher of Racquet magazine.
There's this sort of idea of like being on the court under the glare of the lights in the Big Apple, and so a lot of players dress for the occasion. Famously, Serena Williams wore a tuxedo jacket when she played a couple of years ago.
Tennis fan Karina Egya came from Norway this week to see the U.S. Open, especially
Serena Williams. She's always well-fitted, uses strong colors that suits her color. She's very pretty.
I asked Egya, is too much attention paid to what women wear over what they do?
No, not in tennis. In tennis, no, I don't think so in tennis.
Maybe she's right. If so, you've come a long way, baby. For WNYC, I'm Jim O'Grady. You've come a long way.